you know, whenever we do ministry right through the night, I'm aware that sometimes if we go too late, tomorrow morning, some of you will be sitting here and you'll be concussed. You will need enough toothpick to prop your eyeball so that you can look straight. All right. You know, I'm a firm believer that whatever happens in the natural, it's also a spiritual thing, which means sleep is a spiritual thing. So if you don't have sufficient sleep and you're trying to get an intake of the spiritual food, it's not going to help. You know, because I preach to in so many platforms, in so many places, and I see folks trying to stay awake and sleep at the same time, if you know what I mean. And it's better off that they have a good sleep. Because that way, they're not getting enough sleep, they're also not getting the Word of God. So, you know, to be spiritual is to be natural. So, you know, if you need to crash out and rest in the Lord while I'm ministering, that's fine. Don't worry about it, all right? Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to minister for a moment. Originally, I scheduled for this word for tomorrow's morning. And I'm going to do a little bit change up and preach on John chapter 4 tomorrow and preach 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the story of David versus Goliath. How many of you know this story? Let me see your hand. Yep. Okay, many of you. You know, it's a story of the underdogs. Yeah. And David, so to speak, is an underdog. A young man, about 17 years old, taking on a seasoned warrior of about 25 to 30 years old. A seasoned warrior who's tall, big. By the grace, we see how David experienced a breakthrough. And so tonight, I want to talk about breakthrough. But just before I do that, I know God is here. And I want us to touch the heart of God. Worship is a very important dimension. During my table this evening, we were talking about worship. And I'm glad because Pastor Sam's philosophy of worship is the same as mine. And for us, it's not about a performance, but it's about us touching the heart of God. So worship is really coming into God's presence, basking in His presence, but most of all, worship is about touching the heart of God. It is so important that you come into God's presence and touch His heart. It's not about the mechanics of the music. And I'm glad in your church, as I'm in this camp, I notice that a lot of musicians, a lot of worship teams, and that's great. In, you know, I wished we had that many worship teams in Trinity, you know, but the reality is that we've got two worship pastors and not many musicians. And so I think we've got two teams, right? Four. Okay, I see you guys scheduled. Yeah, it's not enough. You know, I need... And I want us to touch the heart of God tonight. Amen. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone. You alone are my heart's desire. Desire, and I long to worship, for you alone. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long. If you don't know this song and you're wondering what's the lyrics, turn to Psalms 42. Because Psalms 42 says, as the deer longs for the water, so my soul longs after you. It's a song of a longing, It's a song where it talks about how you and I need to hunger and thirst after God. One time I went to India, and I know Godwin's from India, and I went to a forest in India to minister to 400 pastors. It's called Uti. Do you know Uti? Yeah, Uti. And right below Uti is a mountain that's very high where they sell great chocolates. I love chocolates and ice cream. But at the foot of Uti is a place called Quiet Corner. And in Quiet Corner, it's a retreat center. And when I went to Bangalore and they drove me all the way to Quiet Corner, it took us several hours to get there. As we drove through the woods, I saw herds of bison. I saw deers and all that. And so we came to Quiet Corner, which was fenced up. It's an electric fence compound because the kind of fence up so that the tigers, the lions, and the elephants will not come into it. And I had the opportunity of being in Uti, in Quiet Corner. And one day I got up in the morning while I was there, and I got up early in the morning and I walked out of the lodge that I was living in, and right across past the electric fence is this nice stream, and I saw lions coming to drink water from it, and it was just amazing to see that. And then after the lions gone away, by the afternoon time, I saw just deers coming to the water stream and waiting, and they were drinking from that. And I was reading Psalms 42 in the midst of this whole thing. And talks about how as a deer longs for water, let our heart longs for Him. Amen. Let our hearts for worship longs for Him. It's so important that as we worship, from Psalms 100, it teaches us to come into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. But we go from there into touching the heart of God, letting God know how much we love Him. Amen. So stretch out your hands and sing as the deer. As the deer longs for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. For you alone, you alone are my strength, my shield. For you alone, you alone may my spirit renew. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long. I love you, and I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. Can really satisfy. You alone are my heart's desire, and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength. Sing it again. I want you more than gold, and I want more than gold or silver. Only you can really satisfy. You alone are the real joy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. for you alone. May my spirit
You alone
are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. For You alone are my strength, and You alone are my strength. I love You, Jesus. Jesus. Join us now and sing. Oh, we love You, Jesus. Jesus, we adore You, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sing the wonderful name of Jesus. Lovely name of Jesus. 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 Come on, sing the name of Jesus. The name above all names, Jesus, 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 see, I love You. I love You. Oh, I love You, Lord. I love You,
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. That's right. Just express Your love to Him. Let Him know how much You love Him. Oh, I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. Oh, I love You, Lord.
I will never let go of your love,
your mighty love,
your mighty love. I will never forget, I will never forget
all the praise,
all the praise
you're worthy of,
you're worthy of. And you never fail me, and you never walk away, and I will never let go of your love.
I will never let go,
and I will never let go of your love,
your mighty love, oh God,
your mighty love.
And I'll never forget,
and I will never forget all the praise
you're worthy of,
you're worthy of. You never fail me, and you never walk away, and I will never let go of your love.
If you know the song, sing it with us right now.
I will never let go, and I will never let go of your love,
your mighty love,
your mighty love.
And I will never forget,
I will never forget all the praise you're worthy of.
You never fail,
fail me,
and you never walk away.
Away, and I will never let go of your love.
You never fail me.
You never fail me.
And
you never walk away. I will never let go of your love.
Sing it again.
You never fail me. You never fail me. And you never walk away.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I will never let go.
I will never let go.
And I will never let go.
I will never let go.
I will never let go of your love.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your stubborn love. Your stubborn love that never let go of us. Even, Lord, when we are faithless, even though we blow it, even though we messed up time and time and time again, yet your stubborn love just holds on tight to us. Thank you, Father, that you are God, a loving Father that never ceases to love us. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much to touch us tonight, to touch us in a special way, that we will love you, that we will fall in love with you. And so, Lord, thank you for wooing after us. Tonight, Lord, open our hearts right now to hear what your word has to say to us. And then, Lord, let a mighty transformation take place. And I thank you for every man and woman here in this place. Anoint every heart, every ear to hear what your spirit has to say. Strengthen us. Strengthen us, Father, right now. In Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give a big hand to God. Thank Him for His stubborn love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I'm always amazed by the love of God. How many of you have watched Finding Nemo? That's a great show. Really. It shows how you and I will run away from God and the Father comes and look for Nemo. And Father God does that. He comes and searches for us. God searches for us. And I pray that you and I will become a God chaser. Because that we will reciprocate to His wing after us. That we will become a God chaser to love Him. That we can become a God catcher. To catch the very heart of God tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're not going to read this whole passage. I want you to, maybe tonight, as you go back to your room and before you lie down and sleep, just read the whole chapter. Because we don't have time to read this whole chapter. I just want to pick up some nuggets from it and share. And we'll see how it goes, all right? And if I don't finish, that's it. Because tomorrow, I'm just going to go from John chapter 4. All right, so I'm not going to complete it if it's not. And this is a story of how the Philistine would gather their forces for war. And they assemble at Sukkoth in Judah. They pitch camps between Sukkoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assemble and camp in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistine. I want you to take note that Saul and the Israelites assemble and camp in the valley. There it goes again. You know, in every sound system, there is a demon that needs to be, you know, cast out. We thank God for the sound guys that are trying to help us. But I want you to understand this. This is a scenario that's kind of crazy for me. Because every morning, the Philistine will come. Now, for the longest time, the Philistine army and the Israelites, they were always at war. And this is a description of our lives against the demonic forces of the enemy. And the demonic forces of the enemy and sin comes. And there is always this constant battle. In order to go deep and go wide, we have to deal ruthlessly. We've got to deal ruthlessly with the enemy. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy comes and forever is at war with us. But in this scenario right now, if you understand the landscape of Israel, if you've been to the Middle East and you've done a tour in Israel, and if you come to this point where the teacher of the tour group begin to explain to you, what happened on that day was the Philistine army came and they actually encroached. They were actually in Israelite in the territories of the Israeli. They have actually invaded Israel. It is actually an act of war. But somehow as they invaded Israeli territories, the Israel army of Saul did not fight them. What happened is that they came and every day they gathered at this battle line. And as they gathered at the battle line, what happens is that every morning they will run up to the battle line and then comes Goliath. I mean, he's a 9 feet tall guy. I mean, huge. And his armament on him was already 160 pounds. He carries this javelin, this spear, that weighs more than 9 pounds. And every day he will come and taunt the army of Israel. And the army of Israel, when they saw this guy come up, they will run back to their camp. And this goes on every day. And I want you to know, it went on for 40 days and we'll come to that. But I want you to take note that every day this happened for 40 days. And what I want to deal with tonight is a principle for corporate breakthrough. Because the last few days and this morning we're talking about you in your individual life. how you need in your individual life to get a revelation and to act on that revelation. And when you do that, God takes you from promise, from revelation to fulfillment or manifestation. Because on this end, you know, God always promises something. But on the other end, we need to go through personal transformation so that we become the man of God who step into manifestation to become a blesser. But tonight, in this service, I want to talk about corporate breakthrough. Because it's not just about you. It's about the church. Because your individual life is found wrapped in the destiny of this church. And when a church experiences a breakthrough, you get a breakthrough. It ain't going to happen till the church and the leadership of the church experience it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Psalms 133 tells us the oil of anointing falls on Mount Hermon and then it goes down the beard of Aaron. The anointing always begins from the top and it comes down to the ground. God always begins with appointment. God always begins with leaders and then it goes down to the entire body. There is always a head and then the body. That's God's modus operandi. And that's something that you and I need to understand. And so tonight, we're going to have to understand that you and I are part of the component for a corporate breakthrough. If when the church experiences a breakthrough corporately, you are going to see amazing miracle happen in your own life. When the church experiences financial breakthrough like never before, then the members in the church will individually experience financial prosperity. When the corporate leadership experience and the corporate church experience wholeness, then every one of you will walk in the wholeness of God. You understand what I'm saying? It cannot happen until the corporate church experience it. That's why house leaders, you know, that house church leaders, you are part of the corporate leadership. It is imperative tonight that you awaken your antenna, your spiritual antenna, to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Every one of you, a member of the house church, you got to understand you are part of a corporate body. Amen. And you and I need to come together and see that corporate breakthrough. Israel at this time of war did not experience a corporate breakthrough. There was a defeatist attitude where they were concerned. And I want you to understand the first principle for corporate breakthrough tonight is to understand that there is a line between breakthrough and defeat. There is a line between breakthrough and status quo. There's a line between life and death. There's a line between victory and fear. That line has been drawn. God has drawn the line. The enemy has seen the line. But the problem here that you and I got to understand is that Satan, the enemy, he's a great deceiver. He deceives you to think that the line is a thick line. I want you to understand that the line between breakthrough and defeat is a thin line. The line between life and death is a thin line. The line between victory and defeat is a thin line. It's not a thick line. But the enemy wants you to think that it is a thick line. That's why people don't press into breakthrough. Because you think that I'm not able to, but it's just a step away. The enemy deceives us tonight to think that it is a thick line. I want you to understand tonight it is an extremely thin line. That's why the moment you say yes to Jesus, you pass from death into life, isn't it? When the offering bag comes by this weekend, the moment you say yes and you put something in, you just pass that line. From poverty into prosperity. And listen, the word prosperity does not just talk about economic prosperity. The word prosperity in the Hebrew text is so rich. It talks about wholeness. It talks about the completeness of your life. God wants us to prosper whole. Not just in one dimension of life. That's why salvation is more than a spiritual experience. Salvation is a total experience. Because when God changes you on the inside, He changes you on the outside as well. It's a total experience. But the enemy will want you to think in your mind and in your heart that it's so hard That's why when I ask folks to do certain stuff, they say, oh, it's so difficult. It ain't difficult. Just got to take the first step. It's always the first step that is the hardest, isn't it? And here, Goliath comes down, and it is so easy to just run down. Can you just imagine? If all of the armies of Israel just run down against Goliath, hey, one versus the rest of them, it's no-brainer, isn't it? Doesn't take rocket science to defeat that one guy. But they've been deceived. And the enemy deceives us by putting a stronghold in our mind. It begins with a thought. And then when we give credence to the thought, that's what it says in Corinthians. Then we set it up to become a high place. And when we begin to set it up, the word high place means it becomes an obstacle. It becomes a huge hurdle. And as soon as it becomes a huge obstacle, a hurdle in our mind, we think it cannot be done anymore. Listen, I want you to understand, there is nothing humanly impossible that you and I cannot do. Yeah. It's only technically it is impossible, but humanly anything is possible. That's why in the book of Genesis, when the people came together and built a tower to reach the sky, God says, if as one people speaking one language with one motivation they have begun to do this, then nothing will be impossible. Talks about the corporate. When we corporately can believe that SP will break through to a great level. And when you believe it, when you speak it, when it's part of your system, when it's part of your language, when it's part of your conviction, things begin to happen. But if you begin with, it can be done, and that's it, so over. That's why it's very important tonight for us to understand God's drawing that line tonight. God's drawing the line because God's looking for history makers tonight. God's looking for a man and a woman that'll be willing to say that's a thin line. It's not a thick line. It's a thin line. And we can. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You hear what I'm saying? I like the part, I can do all things. It's a positive confession. But it's a confession in Christ who strengthens me. And God lives in us. God lives in every one of us. The day you say, Jesus, come into my life, Jesus lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you and He quickens you. Therefore, you can. You know, the problem with believers is, I don't know, a lot of us, our last name is Khan. Or can't, depending on whether you pronounce it in a British way or an American way. Kenny can't. Janice can't. Jenny can't. Do you know that our last name should be Can and not Can't or Can't? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. So turn to the person beside you and say, I can do all things. You bet. You bet it. So number one, there's a thin line between breakthrough and status quo. There's a thin line. I want you to understand, in a few more months, you are moving out from where you are into this location. And this location represents everything about breakthrough. But church, listen very carefully. You do not have to wait until you move to see that breakthrough. It will be sad and pathetic of SP. You can see breakthrough today. That breakthrough can be manifested before you go. That's very important. If you gotta wait until it happens, it's over. Because then you're letting the line thicken. We can all see a corporate breakthrough. Amen. We can see Hong Kong come to know Jesus, isn't it? Hong Kong belongs to the Lord. He is the Lord of Hong Kong. Wouldn't it be wonderful if SP can initiate the bringing of Hong Kong before the Lord and lifting Hong Kong before God and says, this is your country. Amen. it can happen. Why not? Amen? So there's a thin line between success and failure, between breakthrough and status quo. Number two, the second thing that you and I need to understand tonight is that there is a giant that we must break. Verse 4 to verse 11 tells us how Goliath would come every day. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out from the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet. No, let me just pause here and go back to the first point, because it just dawned on me, this point that I wanted to make. Verse 1 to verse 3 tells us actually the enemy encamped in Israel proper territory. You gotta understand, if you don't rise up, the enemies of your soul will take root in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible tells us in Ephesians, do not give the devil a foothold. That means leave no room for the enemy. Don't even let him encamp in your life. Because when he encamps in your life, he begins the process of rewiring your thought life. And deception kicks in. That was what happened. The Philistine army, they were encamped on Israeli territory. And Israel did not chase them out. Listen, I want you to understand tonight, before we go to the second point about a giant that we must break. Oh yeah, it's similar within that point. You got to understand tonight that you possess power. So turn to the person beside you and say, you possess power. Now, I want to say this first of all. Satan has got limited power. Satan is mighty. But God is almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Give God a big hand. He's almighty. Almighty. Reason why I say he has limited power is that he needs your permission to give him power. Every time you sin, you're opening a door and saying, please seize my property. How many of you are lawyers here? All right. Tell me about the law. It's a squatter law. I believe that if you allow someone to stay in your house for 7 years, is it 7 years? Or 10 years? Or what? 12. You say 7. Okay, depends. I don't. U.S. is how many? Yeah. So if they stay, now in some countries it's 7, some is 12. If the squatter come and he live in the corner of your home, and you allow the squatter to come in your home, after 7 years or 12 years, depending on the country that you lived in, the judge, the court will have to rule that that belongs to the squatter. You have given up your rights. You hearing what I'm saying? In the same way, Satan has limited power. He needs your permission. And the problem with a lot of believers, a lot of churches, is that we give him permission. We say welcome into our home. And therefore, he creates havoc in church. He creates havoc in our families. Enough is enough. We've got to stop that and understand there is a giant that we need to break. That is a giant that we have to take on. Goliath came down every day, taunted the nation of Israel. Taunted them. He was a giant they needed to break. But no one broke him. And therefore, he grew in stature. And when the enemy grows in stature, the people of faith grows in fear. Listen, fear is the brother killer of faith. Anytime you allow fear to come into your life, faith diminishes. That's why you notice the words of Jesus and the angels. Whenever they appear, the first word is, do not be afraid. Remember the shepherds were on the field that night, gazing into the sky, when suddenly the sky opened and a host of angels came to bring the good news. The first word is, do not be afraid, for I bring you tidings of great joy. For today in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, is one born, the King of the Jews. We must not let fear intimidate us. Because when the enemy taunts us, he weakens our faith. When Goliath began to taunt the nation of Israel, their faith were weakened. And then when he began to discourage them, their faith began to be destroyed. The Philistine army gathered every day. I want you to know this. The devil is equally intimidated by you. Do you know that? Think about it. The enemy came into Israel territory. They were fearful. Because if they had great courage, they would have attacked Israel, isn't it? They already came into the territory. They could have attacked Israel, but why didn't they? They were afraid. You know why? Because history tells them each time they came into Israel, Israel kicked their butts. Israel whipped them good and clean. They ran off as dogs whose tail was between their legs every time. And this time they came and they were afraid to attack the Israeli. So they sent Goliath. Yeah. They test the water. But Israel was frightened. Fear came in. Therefore, Israel didn't attack. You embolden the enemy each time you give permission to the enemy. That's basically what it was. The Philistine army was equally intimidated by the Israeli armies. Therefore, Satan and his cohorts are afraid of every one of you. Because the weakest one of you is stronger than him. You don't believe? I'll tell you a story. When my son was about 4 years old, and some of you are wondering, you know, how my son looks like. Just me and my wife. Yeah. So nice. See, he pays to sit in front because the anointing starts from the front and dissipates by the back. So, too bad for you, those of you behind. That's my daughter. This was when she was, I think, about 16 years old. My son, when he was about 12. Yeah, they all look like me. That's why they're handsome and beautiful. And so, when my son was about 4 years old, I picked him up from a childcare center. In our church, we used to run a childcare center. Now we don't. We just outsource the property to a childcare operator, and I just collect rent. That sounds like a great idea. That sounds like a good idea for you too. And one day, when he was 4, I picked him up, put him in the back seat of my car, and I drove off from Adam Road. I went up the freeway, and as soon as I hit the freeway, now I want you to know, the moment I got into my car, hit the freeway, there was a dark, sinister feeling that came into the car. It was so thick, it choked me, and I had goosebumps. My son, who was 4 years old, sitting at the back seat of my car, said this to me, "Daddy, there's a man in the car." I said to Matthias, "Daddy is the only man in the car." My son said, "No, Daddy, there's another man in the car." I said to Matthias, "Tell me about this man." He said, "Daddy, this man is black, dark." And then he began to describe the man. And then he said, "The man is sitting beside you." How many of you by now have got goosebumps on goosebumps? You know, it's just so sinister. I started speaking tongues. Oh, Karabashat. I put on a Christian CD. Oh. And all this while, my son said, "Daddy, the man is in the car." And so he finally came down to this. I said to my son, "Son, Daddy don't see this man. I mean, if he appears in front of me, I will box him, but I don't see him." So I said to my son, "Matthias, since you can see this man, ask this man to leave Daddy's car." Now I want you to know, my son has never seen me do deliverance. Yeah. I'm wild when I do deliverance. One time I did a deliverance. I was with Pastor B, and you know, the guys know Pastor B is she is vertically challenged, or what we call dance fool. And she was with me, and our prayer pastor was an Australian, David Han, and we were there, and this Indian lady came to for deliverance, and I sat across the table from her, and David and Pastor B was standing right behind her. She was standing right, she was sitting right in front of me, and I began to talk to her and pray with her, and suddenly she launched out at me, fingernails and all. Some of you saw my battle scar today, and I'm not going to get a scarring from her. And so I simply, and this is all by reflex, I simply move aside. On one hand, pull the hand that reached towards me. The other hand, I just went behind it and bang! Blood all over, man. Teeth. Yeah. So when I do deliverance, man, it's a sight to behold. I don't know whether the demon got injured or the girl got injured. Her bangers broke, everything. I mean, it was disastrous. I left the room and said, Pastor B, David, you guys take care of it. I don't want to be sued. And so my kids have never seen me do deliverance. Whenever I want to do deliverance, we'll go to a private room because weird things happen in the deliverance room. But my kids have seen me pray for people. Today, I don't pray the same way my, you know, that my kids have seen. I used to go up to people and say, fire! I go up to you, you know, and say, loose! And people will fall. You know. And so both my daughter and my son will play church. Natalie will come stand in front of Matthias and say, fire! And Matthias will fall. You know? Occupational hazard, man, bro. And then my son will say, now it's my turn, and he'll stand up in front of his sister, fire! My, you know, and she'll fall. So I don't know whether we'll do that today, tonight. Loose! And but never seen me do deliverance, seen me pray for people. Sitting in the back seat of the car, Matthew said this, man, leave daddy's car. I mean, he raised his voice with such authority, commanded the demons, man, leave daddy's car. One time, leave daddy's car. By the third, fourth time, the demons left. I know, because suddenly the car was light. I was able to breathe. It was kind of airy by then. But to test the hypothesis, I said to Matthias, where's the man? He says, oh, daddy, the man has left the car. I tell you, I share this story with you. If a four-year-old boy, who is weaker than all of you here, if a four-year-old boy has that much theology of God, while you and I have the head knowledge full of the theology of God, and if that little boy can command the demons to leave daddy's car, how much more you and I can kick the devil in his butt. Amen. Come on, give God a big hand. There's a demon that we need to break. There's a stronghold we need to break from this church. We need to break every demon, every stronghold, and leave no room for the Goliath in SP, because SP is about to come into her finest hour. Like I said, you guys are at a threshold of a great move of God. We're not going to let doubt, unbelief, we're not going to let a spirit of poverty hinder this church. We're not going to let rebellion stop this church from going forward. We're not going to let a sense of apathy, because there is a sense of apathy about the things of God. We're not going to let that just reign supreme in this church. We're going to take hold of that. We're going to destroy that, because it's about time SP stands up to her finest hour. Amen. There's a demon. There's a giant that we must break. So number one, there's a line between breakthrough and status quo. Number two, there's a giant that we must break. Number three, God has an appointed man. God has an appointed man. Verse 12 tells us about David. Now, David was a son of Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. And what happened was that Jesse's first 3 sons were conscripted into the army. And so David, every day, had to bring food to the brothers at the battle line. Every day he brought food back and forth. And they came, verse 15, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep. Notice, this is a boy that was extremely busy. He was taking care of his dad's flock, and then he was running this errand for daddy. I want you to understand this. The appointed man and woman of God is always busy. So don't tell me, and don't tell Pastor Sam, I'm busy. Because if you are busy, you are the right candidate to be the man and the woman of God. Amen. God don't use lazy people. He always uses busy people. I like it when I ask my Trinitarians, can you do this? Pastor Dom, I'm busy. I said, that's good. Hallelujah. Reorder your life, man. Don't tell me you're busy. Just do it. Yeah. I like the Nike slogan. Just do it. I can't handle no. Pastor Sam, I just cannot handle no. I don't know about you. I just don't like, people tell me no. Just reorder your life, man. Get a life. Strange, you know. It's strange that we will say, I'm busy. What a cop-out. You've just been given the greatest privilege to serve the King. Say, I'll do it. I'll reorder my life. I'll change my appointment just to do this. That's what it is. David was busy taking care of the flock. I mean, it's not low. I mean, he's busy taking them from places to places. And then still have to rush home, get the food while it's hot, rush down to enemy's line, pass the food to the brother, and then rush back to take care of the sheep. So how many of you are busy right now? God loves busy people. I want you to know. He loves busy people. And then verse 16, for 40 days. Now this is where 40 days. And so God has an appointed man. Out of Jesse's son, there's a David. I believe there are many Davids here. And Davidas. For the ladies, I believe there are many Davids here. Spiritual David. You know, someone once said that we are the Joshua generation. I said, no. We are the Davidic generation. We are the generation that established the kingdom of God today. I mean, the Joshua generation, that's the past generation. I'm not a Joshua generation. I'm the Davidic generation. Because the Davidic generation is a generation that worships the Lord and establishes His kingdom. Establishes His throne. That's what we are. That's who we are today. So don't think you're a Joshua generation. You're not wandering from places to places. You are the Davidic generation. We're here called by God. Appointed by Him. God loves to call a man and a woman to do great things. Tonight, be that great, be that man, be that woman that God calls. See, God never calls committee. God always calls a man or a woman. I think of the book of Judges. There was a lady whose name is Deborah. I mean, she held courts every day. Since this church, half of you are lawyers, you understand? She was in courtroom, man, every day. She was a district judge, I think. She holds a court every day, listening to people. And then God came and passed her a message and said, you know, I know you're busy running court, but would you also be the judge of Israel and do something about it? Eradicate sin, eradicate the enemy out of Israel. And there comes Deborah. And after that, Israel had peace and prosperity. Only need one. If one person can do that, how much more 220 of you? Think of that. The multiplier effect in your community, in the nation. So God's looking right now from heaven. God looks down from the portals of heaven. He opens His window and He looks down. And who does he see? Does he see you today saying, yes, Lord, I'm the one. I'm the one. I think it's time tonight, church, to stand up and say, Lord, I'm the one. I went to Bible school pretty confused. When I was in Bible school, I was pretty confused because all my classmates during Principle of Missions, they wrote their paper on the call of God. And every one of them had a call of God in their life. Every one of them had a supernatural visitation. Every one of them had orchestrated divine coincidence that happened in their life. Me, I had nothing. Me, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ on June the 9th, 1980, all I did say was, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. You know, I wasn't conscripted into God's army. I signed up for it. Hallelujah. Because I believe I'm the man to do the job. And tonight, you don't have to wait to be conscripted. You can stand up and say, God, I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm your appointed one. That's what it is. I remember one time God came by the angel into a wine press. There was this little boy. He was minding his own business, threshing wheat in a wine press. And the angel said to him, yo, you. He said, who, me? God says, yes, you. And he says, couldn't be. You know? And God says, yes, you. You are the mighty warrior. And he says, I'm the youngest. I'm the least of all. And God said, you're still my mighty warrior. You're still my mighty warrior. God appoints men and women. And tonight, you are that man and a woman. Now listen to this thing. Saul was the commander of the Israelites, right? Yes or no? But you notice Saul did not lead that day. When leaders fail to stand up and take their line of position of leadership, they lose the voice to speak. When people of God does not stand up and take the position to lead, we lose the voice in our community and in our world. When Solomon's Porch as a church does not stand up and lead, the church loses her voice in the community. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, you are the appointed church. The nation needs the church. One time I was with Rick Warren. He came to Trinity and after a night of ministry, Rick and I were just together fellowshipping. And I said this to Rick. I said, Rick, if the church of Jesus Christ can come together and we can amass all of our resources, bring all of the leadership together, sit down around a table and begin creative collaboration, we have enough power, resources and arsenal of heaven to change the world 7 times. Do you know that? And so if you as one church can put your act together and understand that all of you are appointed men and women of God and you come together, I tell you, Hong Kong will be a very different nation because there is enough expertise in this room to navigate and to bring change in your nation because your community can change radically. Come on, give God a big hand. But you gotta believe you are the appointed man and woman. You gotta believe this is the appointed church. The problem is that we doubt. The problem is we don't think we're up to it. The problem is that we're so inward. But listen, you guys have the capacity in this room. That's why I almost want to say you guys have the potential, but I hate the word potential. Potential means you're a loser. Potential means you never do. Potential means you're never a fulfillment. I hate, yeah. But let me just say, there's enough resources here. And I believe you guys can become the fulfillment of God's plan for your nation, for your community. You gotta believe it, church. You gotta believe that you are the mighty warrior. You gotta believe that you are God's appointed man and woman. So start leading. Don't lose the voice to speak. The greatest need in the world is for hope, but the greatest need in the church is leadership. So the church needs to arise in leadership today. Number four. If we're going to see corporate breakthrough, not only is there a line between breakthrough, a thin line between breakthrough and status quo, a giant that we must break, that God has appointed man and appointed church, we must understand that there's a timing for breakthrough. Now remember, I read there for 40 days. 40 is an interesting number. The Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. Here it talks about 40 days. Now, let me say here that I do not believe that the Bible writers counted 40 days or 40 years. Truth be told, it may not have been 40. But it is a summation to the closest number, 40. And 40 is an interesting number. I'm not into numbers, the theology of numbers, but I do know one thing about 40. 40 in this sense talks about completion, completeness. 40 is really a generation. 40 is a complete number of time. That's why an old proverbial saying says, life begins at 40. Life begins at 40. 40 talks about a new beginning, a new start, a new season, a completion of one season, and then a new chapter has begun. So for 40 days, fear came. But finally, at the end of the 40 days, at the close of the old season, comes a brand new season with God's appointed man to bring change. And I want you to know that the breakthrough is now. Because I believe something is happening in the heavenlies where SP is concerned. That is, God is bringing a closure. That is why this year you guys are signing a new contract. You know, I know Pastor Sam's been trying to get this thing going, and suddenly everything comes by this year because there's a closure of the past season and an opening of a brand new season. Their timing is now. The timing is now. Would you believe it? Would you perceive it? Would you discern it? The Bible tells you, look, I'm doing a new thing before you. Do you not perceive it? God is about to do something new. We must see. And then we must make things happen. It is so important for us today to understand that God orchestrates His timing for us based on the fullness of time. And so I don't think it is coincidental for me to be here in this retreat. I don't think the connection with SP, you know, happened by chance. Because out of the blue, one day Stanley called me after a long time. Never heard from him. Yeah. After he left Trinity, he came to Hong Kong. Didn't hear from him for the longest time. And then he called. And he talks about this church that he's involved with. And he got excited about you guys were doing Henry Blackaby's book, you know, on hearing the voice of God or experiencing, or what you might call it, whatever. Yeah. And he told me about Pastor Sam. He kept talking about Pastor Sam. Yeah. You gotta meet Pastor Sam. I think God brought a connection. I think in God's fullness of time, out of the relationship, I see God bringing SP up to this pivotal moment for breakthrough. Corporate breakthrough. I'm not talking about individual breakthrough. I'm talking about a corporate breakthrough. So God is positioning us right now for that timing. And when it comes, We got to understand now and move with it. Next. Oh my. Okay. Let me just skip down and say this. For corporate breakthrough to take place, we need to flow in God's anointing. We need to flow in God's anointing and not man's ways. In verse 38 onwards, what happened was that Saul stood David up with his armor. And David says, I cannot fight Goliath wearing this because this is a man-made. This is a Saul's armor, Saul's anointing. You got to fight from your anointing, not someone else's anointing. That's why you need to pray. You cannot depend on the prayer of your spouses. You cannot depend on the anointing of your spouse. You know, some of us, you wouldn't get up for early morning prayer, but your spouse do, and you say that's enough prayer for the family. Well, it ain't enough prayer for the family because you need to do your own praying. You need to stir your own faith and walk in your own anointing. I don't know, maybe I'm speaking to some of you. Too bad, so sad. David had to walk in his own anointing. Your anointing comes from your own experiences with God. That's why David talks about his experience with God, how God trains him. God has trained you through your education, through your exposure. God has trained you through his encounters with you. And you need to understand that and then come into that place of connecting with the source of on high. And there comes a quickening process so that you flow in God's ways and not man's ways. Because Saul's faith in his armament is not David's faith. It is so important for us today to understand the anointing that is resident within you. Because 1 John tells us that the anointing lives in you. And that the Spirit of God teaches us. Because the anointing will teach you, equip you, for the anointing is in you. What is important is that we must manifest the anointing. A lot of times we say, we want an anointing, we want it. But the anointing is in us. The issue is manifestation of the anointing. So we need to stir up our faith and manifest the anointing. Because when you manifest the anointing, you are flowing in the anointing. It's not about copying someone's anointing. It's not about living under someone's anointing. But it's about your own anointing. Because if each of you arise with your own anointing, then God cluster all of this together. And in the Old Testament, talks about the cluster anointing. Because the cluster anointing is rich and full and complete. Just like playing on this note. Remove your leg off. Okay. And now you can step on a pedal. A C major. Sounds okay. This sounds better because this is a triad. It's a full chord. That's what it is. When you walk in a singular anointing as a C major, one note. But when you walk corporately as a church, that's a triad, a full chord. That's where synergistic harmony comes in. Fullness. I want you to understand this. We grow up in church thinking that no man is indispensable. How many of you have heard that? I don't know. I grew up in my church and they say, you are not indispensable. If you don't do it, someone else will do it. Someone else can do it, but they won't do it the way God has meant for you to do it. Because your exposure, your unction, your anointing, and the way you do it is the way God wanted it. That's why the entire church, every one of us counts. That's why we leave no man behind. Every one of us have to stand up to the plate. Every one of us has to bet. Every one of us have to release our anointing together. And corporately, when that happens, it becomes full, rich, and complete. Finally, I want you to understand this tonight. Because your breakthrough will become someone else's breakthrough. David, the appointed man, says that we're going to see corporate breakthrough. I'm not going to let Goliath taunt the nation of Israel because he's taunting my God. And so he says, do not lose heart because of this giant. I will go before the nation and fight this. And so David went into the battlefield armed with 5 stones. And we all know the story. Why 5 stones? Don't ask me. Go up to heaven and ask David. He threw a stone and one singular stone hit Goliath. Goliath fell. When Goliath fell, this is what David did. David ran up to Goliath, put one leg over his body, took up the sword and chopped Goliath's head off. Raised the head. And the moment David raised the head, guess what? That breakthrough became a corporate breakthrough, because the Bible said the nation of Israel ran down the valley. Hallelujah. That's what it is all about. A corporate breakthrough. Because there's a scripture in Romans chapter 8 that tells us the world groans for a man of God. The heaven groans. The earth groans. Do you know that there is a waiting in the heaven? There's a waiting on the earth. In the heavenlies, if you can hear the angels and hear the heroes of faith, they are groaning and waiting for a church like SP to arise and say, we are going to go forth and slay Goliath. Because when you do it, the church of Jesus Christ in Hong Kong will then arise and they can see the possibility that Hong Kong can come to know Jesus. And until you do, no other church will believe it. Because I believe in the apostolicity of Solomon's porch tonight. You guys are the sent one. The apostolic unction in this place. That's why tonight we're going to pray for you guys. But before we do that, I need you to understand tonight, as a corporate breakthrough, you can be that man, that woman, you can be the church. This church can be the church. Amen. How many of you believe it tonight? Let's all stand. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, how many points did I do tonight? 6. Okay. It's all right. I had a list of points. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. As you lift your hands to heaven, I want you to just surrender yourself to Jesus. Like I said, God is looking down from heaven. God looks down from heaven. And God looks at you tonight. God looks at you tonight. And heaven groans for a man or a woman and a church that will arise. The earth is waiting for that moment. There is a battle in the heavenlies. The Bible says, heaven suffers violent, but the violent, which is the militant man and woman, the militant church, will take it by force. There is this battle that's going on right now for your soul and for the soul of Hong Kong. There's a battle going on right now, raging for the families in Hong Kong. There's a battle right now that is raging against the businesses in Hong Kong. It's raging against the economy of Hong Kong. But will you be the church that will arise, because there is a sense of anticipation for a church, for a man, for a woman that will say, yes, that is me. I'm going to take my place, because there's a line that is so thin for breakthrough, and I will take possession of that breakthrough, and I have
the anointing. I'm going to stir my faith, and I'm going to destroy that giant, and I'm going to walk right in for corporate breakthrough. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to pray right now. Pray strong, because God's calling you. God's looking at you. Listen, it doesn't matter if you are a one-day-old Christian or you are a veteran believer. Stir up your faith tonight. Stir up your faith tonight. Oh, karababasatana. Listen, the devil's afraid of you. The devil's afraid of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to commit Solomon's porch into your hand. I thank you, Lord, for every man and woman in this place. Stir up our faith. Stir us up from our slumber. Help us to understand and recognize the time. It's now. The season is today. Cause us to press in for breakthrough, corporate breakthrough of the church today. Father, today we repent individually. We repent individually because, Lord, we have been giving up, we have been giving so many excuses. We've been saying we've been busy. We've been saying we cannot. But today, Lord, we repent before you. We understand that we can do all things through Christ. We understand, Lord, today that your power will quicken beyond our understanding and our mind. That your incomparably great power to those who believe is at hand. And so, Lord, today we stretch out and we receive it right now. We receive the mandate of heaven. We receive right now the mission order of heaven. Yes, Lord, we will be the Davids. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we slay the spirit of apathy right now in the name of Jesus. Apathy, you got no place here. We serve you the eviction order. You are no longer the legal right of this church. We take back the territories of this church. We evict you, spirit of apathy. We break the spirit of a convenient mindset right now. We break this consumeristic oriented society right now in the name of Jesus. We will not be self-serving in the name of Jesus. We break your power, we break your grip right now in the name of Jesus. We break the spirit of laziness in the name of Jesus. I speak, Father, spirit of industrious. I speak right now, every man and woman will be filled with a godly zeal, a passion for you, a passion for your agenda. Oh God, put your agenda upon every heart tonight. Cause men and women to receive the burden of the Lord, to receive your burden, your agenda for this church, for the community of this church. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we steward our resources together. We want to see Hong Kong come to know Jesus. That's right, with your hands raised, I want to invite Pastor Sam to come in as the chief shepherd of this church, as your pastor, as your apostle, I'm going to ask Him to declare into this church the breakthrough that this church needs. As He declares the breakthrough that this church needs, I want you to affirm, because the place of agreement is the place of power. And as that happens, believe for the corporate breakthrough. Amen.
Let's just close our eyes and thank you, Father. Just bless you, God. Father, first of all, Lord God, we come to you, God, and myself, and as a church, God, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Lord, forgive us, God, for not stewarding our resources, Lord, in the way that, God, that you would like us to have, God, our time, God, our treasure, Lord. God, I pray, Lord God, that you would come and that you would just stir something within us right now. Lord, I declare that Solomon's Porch is a passionate church. As a church that loves you more than anything else, God. Loves you more than our families, Lord. Loves you more than our work, God. Loves you more than our possessions, Lord. Loves you more than, God, our promotions, God. Love you more than our everything that we do, God. Lord, we are madly in love with you, God. Lord, you are the first and the last in our life, Lord. And so I pray, God, that we would come together as a family, God, that loves you with everything that we have, Lord. I would declare, God, that is our destiny as a church, Lord God. Lord, we believe you have blessed us so much, God. Lord, we are so unworthy of all that you've given to us, God. But we believe, God, that we are blessed to be a blessing, Lord. And so I pray that you'd give us strategies, God, of how we can bless people around us, Lord. Give us insight, God, how we can touch other people, God. Especially those that are marginalized, God. That are poor, Father. Lord, that have no resources of their own, God. They're out in the outskirts, God. I pray that you'd use us, Lord. God, and we believe, God. I know Pastor Dom said something earlier today, God, to me. Lord, and if a church, God, if we just touch five people around us, God, five people that are lonely, God, that are desperate, Lord, God, that don't know you, God, Lord, that are just lost, without hope, God, without life. If we can just touch five people, Lord, that we would have made an incredible difference this next year, God. Lord, I'm going to declare over our church right now, God, that we're going to touch at least five people, God, individually, Lord. That you're going to speak to us about five people, Lord God. That you're going to give us words for, prophetic words, God. You're going to give us a deep love for them, God. You're going to allow us, God, to shower them with love, with time, God, with our lives, Lord. Lord, and they're going to come to know Jesus, God. And it's not just to join our church, God. It's not just for our church to be big, Lord, but that lives can be won, Father God. And so right now, the Lord's going to speak to you right now. And so, Lord, right now, God, begin to download in their spirit, God, Lord, those five people, Father. God, five souls, Lord, God, that are longing. God, even as you said, that are waiting for the appearance of God in their life. Right now, Holy Spirit, we open our spirit up to those five people, God, that you've chosen for each of us to minister to, God, in this next year, God. Come, Holy Spirit. And as the Lord just begins to download those five names, you may not even know these people right now, but God's going to download a face. He's going to give you a picture. He may give you a name. He's going to give you sometimes even a little word like a company, but He's going to just drop something in your spirit right now. And I want you to commit yourself to pray, to just keep praying. It's the only arsenal that just to pray. And then when God brings an opportunity, you know that He's done it. Remember we teach in Luke, remember the passage? Right? The Bible says there's nothing, right? There's nothing that is impossible with God. Remember the proper word? No spoken word of God shall be without ability. So as God downloads that person right now in your spirit, it's already done. It's already done. You just got to be that messenger. So Lord, speak to us right now, God. Lord, let us be a church that cares for people's souls, Lord. Thank you, Father. And now as soon as you get that, you start praying for them right now. You may not know their names or whatnot. Just start praying for them right now. And as you pray, God's going to give you that heart. Just right now, just join. Just start praying for that person, those people right now. God, release the heavens right now. Release the heavens right now. We say that fear is not going to get in our way, God, of our witness, Lord. God, the feeling that we might be embarrassed, God, is not going to get in the way. Or the feeling that we don't know enough about the Bible. God, or we don't know enough to answer people's questions, Lord. All that stuff's going to go away right now. God, we're just going to walk in the confidence of God, Lord. We're going to walk, God, in what the Scripture said, God, that we don't need to know. In that moment, the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak. Because it's not we who are speaking, but God speaking through us. And so right now, God, just put that confidence in us, Lord. Yes, Lord God. You know, we've been waiting a long time to come to this place as a church. It's not just because we've been coming every year, but we just felt as a leadership and people around us that God really wanted to do something really special. It's not going to be same old, but something really special. And I feel like tonight that there's going to be something that God just wants to just unload on you. Or maybe the other way is saying is that you're going to unload on God. You know, some of you guys have been just fighting secret addictions. And God's going to set you free tonight. If you're willing. Right? Remember we said it the first night, on Thursday night. You have not because you ask not. And I want you to just earnestly begin asking the Lord. Some of you guys are finding secret things. Right? And God just, and it's not to reveal or embarrass. God just wants to love you and He wants you to be free. Even more than you want to be free. And so Lord, we just thank you, God, that God, just these addictions, God, and these weaknesses, Lord, and the traumas, God, are just going to be released off of us in Jesus' name. Lord, even as Pastor Dom said, we believe that the apathetic spirit is going to die in this place, Lord. God, we're not going to bring it back to Hong Kong. It's going to die in this place right here in China, God. So come, Holy Spirit. Our heart's intention is we want to pray for every single one of you tonight. I know some moms left in something. Don't worry. We're going to pray for you guys tomorrow. First thing when we come in. We're also taking communion tomorrow as well, right? So make sure you prepare yourself before the Lord. Pastor, I don't know how you want to do this.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. You may be seated. And as you're seated, this is what we want to do. We want to pray for those, I think the five of you that have indicated that you won't be here tomorrow morning. We're going to ask you to come. But the rest of you, as you're sitting back there, I want you to be praying for them. I want you to be praying for them that they will receive the word of the Lord. Pray for us that are ministering as well. So partner with us as we are ministering. And then after that, we'll do this by roll. And where we stop, then we'll pick it up for tomorrow. All right, the rest of you. So we'll do it by roll. All right, so maybe the first five of you. Just stand in a line. Yeah, just stand in a line. If there's more of you, then it's okay. Just stand in a line. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you just continue to stretch out your hands. Pray for us. Thank you.
I want to encourage you guys that as you're sitting down, and that this is not a spectator sport. This is a participatory sport, okay? And so I want you guys to participate as well, you know, because, you know, you guys are going to be up here soon yourself. And I think, man, it would be nice if people were praying for me while you're sitting down there instead of just kind of looking, okay? And so the worship's playing. Let's just give ourselves to the Lord even now. Right? I mean, let's raise the level of expectation. And let's just really begin to pray and just really ask, Lord, just bless my friends. Lord, just speak truths to my friends right now. Can we do that? All right, instead of just kind of gazing, and let's try to participate in what God's doing. If you don't understand what's going on, it's okay. You don't have to. Right? And we can talk about it later on and search the scriptures. Right? But we can get into that conversation another time. But let's just continue to remain hungry and ask the Lord to continue to move upon us. I think we can have the next row come up. So the first row, if you guys are sitting in the first row, why don't you guys make your way up and just line up here. Just have some people pray for you. Maybe we can do this as well. If after we pray for them, if there's still something going on, if they're your friend or something, you can feel free to minister to them as well, okay? Especially house church leaders, right? You know, just come and just minister to our friends that are still, you know, doing whatever.